Next up, we have Emma Furlano.
Hi, everyone. I'm really excited to be here. It's my first year at this conference, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to be presenting. So, as mentioned before, my name is Emma Furlano. I'm a fourth-year medical student at Stony Brook University School of Medicine, and I worked with Dr. Michael Daly of Albany Medical Center and Mr. Robert DeLaghi of Suffolk County Regional EMS Council to create this presentation, which is a single county quality assurance outcomes review of a basic life support pilot program for opioid overdose treatment using intranasal naloxone. In terms of disclosures, I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. However, I will be discussing an off-label use of naloxone by basic life support providers. A little bit of background. In 2013, the CDC stated that 44 people every day die as a result of a prescription opioid overdose. That's over 16,000 people. That's a really significant population. And to look on the more micro level, I wanted to draw your attention to Casey Lynn, whose parents have generously allowed us to use her image and her story. She was a 22-year-old female. She was loved by her family. She had two brothers that absolutely adored her. But unfortunately, after high school, she began to suffer from addiction due to prescription opiates, and she passed away after a courageous battle with this disease. So it's important that not only we look at like the big numbers in this country, you also remember why we're researching this and why this work is important. This work is important to allow people to survive and also to remember their families. A little bit more background. I'm sure as most people in this room are very aware, or I would hope so after the first two presentations, opioid overdoses are a growing problem in the United States since the 90s, and they've also been accompanied by an increase in heroin overdoses. This has led to an increased mortality rate and also an increase in emergency department visits. Suffolk County and Long Island, like the rest of the United States, was not immune to these problems, and in Suffolk County in early 2010, we identified opioid overdoses being a huge public health crisis for this county. So since opioid overdoses and heroin overdoses have been increasing, various states have begun to implement different programs in order to combat these overdoses. New York, since 2006, has been working with intranasal naloxone. As you can see, the first picture is the naloxone kit disassembled, and then the last picture is it assembled. It's essentially a needleless system, which is good. There's very little risk of the healthcare provider sticking themselves with a needle as compared to, say, like giving naloxone via IV. In Boston, EMS has been successfully doing intranasal naloxone with their basic life support provider since 2006. Additionally, states have also implemented these 911 Good Samaritan laws. There's currently 27 states who use Good Samaritan laws. Basically, the thinking is if you had a friend and that friend had, say, a stroke right in front of you, you as a person would typically call 911 for an ambulance. However, if you and your friend were both injecting heroin and they began to overdose from it, you might be concerned about calling 911 because you don't want to get arrested and you don't want your friend to get arrested. So most of these programs allow for patients to be treated adequately and not be arrested as long as they're using small amounts of opiates and there are no current warrants out for their arrest and they're not buying or, they aren't distributing these opiates out in the community. So this presentation will mostly focus on the New York State pilot program. It was developed in 2011 as a collaboration between Albany Medical College, the New York State Department of Health, Suffolk County EMS, among many other organizations, and we completed an IRB for this project. Basically, this project allows emergency medical technicians in New York State who are certified in basic life support, which means that they are trained for approximately 6 months in how to do first aid. They learn how to do splints, how to administer albuterol, how to backboard people after car accidents, and how to perform CPR. But they can't give IV medication, so they couldn't give like IV naloxone. So this program, though, was good, though, because the intranasal route isn't intravenously, so they're easily trained how to do it. And these EMTs were trained to give naloxone for patients who had a suspected opioid overdose and had a respiratory depression, which was less than 10 breaths per minute. They were trained to not give naloxone if the patient was in active cardiac arrest, because naloxone can't restart your heart. The AED can restart your heart, but naloxone won't be able to. And this is just a picture of Jamie. She was an emergency medical technician being trained on how to give naloxone. For the program that I'm discussing today, the training was provided at the Suffolk County Regional EMS Council for providers from 94 different volunteer EMS agencies in Suffolk County, and also the Suffolk County Police Department. This is actually really interesting for us because most of these providers trained were volunteers. This means that many of them have other careers. They might be stockbrokers, they might be stay-at-home parents, waitresses, doctors of pharmacy. So this, when they're giving EMS, when they're working as EMS providers, we were concerned that they might be nervous about giving this medication, especially as they might only be volunteering for 6 hours a week on an ambulance as compared to most career EMS providers who might be working 48 to 72 hours a week on an ambulance. We gathered data from July 2012 to August 2013 from patient care reports and medication usage forms that were submitted to Suffolk County Regional EMS Council after each naloxone administration. And then we looked at all the data, we saw where all the patients were transported, and then we followed up at each hospital. We contacted 9 different hospitals to gather this information, and we were able to obtain data from 6. Here are just some of the naloxone forms. Here's our QI call review, and here's what a patient care report looks like. Of note, both of these are handwritten. So we were able to, out of 139 overdoses, we were able to obtain information about 81 different patients. We found that at the hospital, there were 8 patients who had a non-opioid related diagnosis upon discharge from the hospital. So approximately 90% of patients had an opioid related diagnosis, however 10% didn't. So we decided to go back, look at all our data, and make sure that the emergency medical technicians were administering the naloxone accurately and appropriately. So when we looked back at all the patient care reports, we found that the hospital discharge diagnosis may not mirror exactly what the emergency medical technician saw on scene. For example, there was a patient who overdosed on Lortab, which is a combination narcotic. It has Tylenol and an opioid. And so the hospital discharge diagnosis was a Tylenol overdose, but the patient presented initially with an opioid overdose on scene. Another patient, his diagnosis was a cardiac arrest. He overdosed on a massive amount of opioids. And unfortunately, even though EMS gave naloxone, he went from respiratory depression to respiratory arrest to cardiac arrest. Only 2 out of the 81 patients did not meet the criteria for the opioid overdose administration. Therefore, 96% of the time, the EMTs were able to accurately and appropriately administer the naloxone. We also looked to see if the hospitals had to give additional naloxone. We found that 7 patients received additional naloxone at the hospital. This is not necessarily surprising, as some patients overdosed on fentanyl patches. Fentanyl patches have a half-life of up to 27 hours, whereas naloxone typically works intranasally for 30 to 80 minutes. So that made sense to us. We also took a look at the follow-up care that the patients were able to receive upon discharge from the hospital. 31 patients were discharged home 28 patients were referred to a primary care provider. 2 patients were referred to Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. 2 patients received educational materials. 4 patients received treatment at a psychiatric facility. 6 patients were discharged directly from hospital to an outpatient rehabilitation facility, and 16 patients were referred to a rehabilitation facility. So basically, there were 37% of the patients received discharge planning, which was directly towards opioid addiction treatment. We found that most patients were in the emergency department for approximately 7 hours, and if they were admitted, most patients stayed for approximately 3 days. We did find that the median emergency department stay was a little different from the mean emergency department stay. We actually found this exponential distribution between the two. There were a few patients who stayed almost an entire day in the emergency department receiving treatment, but most patients had treatment at approximately 6 hours in the emergency department. So we found this exponential distribution with a correlating R-squared value, which was statistically significant, but in reality from this graph, this means that there are a few outliers and most patients were quickly discharged from the emergency department. Like I said, most patients were discharged from the emergency department. 64 people were discharged, 11 people were admitted, and 9 people left against medical advice. A few of those people who were admitted also left against medical advice after being admitted. There were a few data collection difficulties. As I mentioned, the patient care reports were handwritten, so there are some legibility issues. Also, some of the patient care reports were missing some demographic information, as if a patient's unconscious, it can be difficult to obtain their name, date of birth, their address, and then it's a little bit difficult to follow up at the hospital when we don't have that information. And also at the time, most of the programs in Suffolk County were switching from paper records to electronic medical records, so we had to dig through 2 different systems for all this information instead of just 1 at the hospitals. But we were really happy with our results. No negative side effects were reported for all of the 139 patients that originally received the intranasal naloxone. Also, we found that there was a faster response time for all the patients to receive the intranasal naloxone because you didn't necessarily need a paramedic. As anyone in Suffolk County who's ever gotten in a traffic ticket knows, the Suffolk County Police Department is everywhere. So, which is a very good thing in this case, as they're able to give out a lot of intranasal naloxone. And they didn't have to wait from a paramedic who could have been on the other side of the county to come to administer the naloxone. And at this point, it's actually saved over 200 lives in Suffolk County through this program. So in conclusion, naloxone we found was a safe, effective way to reverse an opioid overdose that BLS, or basic life support providers, can accurately and appropriately administer. As I mentioned before, 90% of the patients had an opioid-related discharge diagnosis from the hospital, and 96% of the patients received naloxone appropriately. And this just shows that even if people who don't necessarily give naloxone or might not interact with an opioid overdose population every day, they are still able to be trained accurately and effectively, and we believe that we should continue to expand access to basic life support providers and increase their usage of intranasal naloxone. And we'd also like to work with hospitals to continue to advocate for additional rehabilitation and addiction treatment options for patients, especially during discharge planning. There's actually been a new push to try and get buprenorphine treatments administered in the hospital, and so we're looking towards seeing what we can do now for additional addiction treatment directly in the emergency department right after patients come in for an overdose. And I wanted to say thank you to you all. Thank you for listening to my presentation, and it was very nice to be here.